Good morning. Very warm welcome to you this morning. And if you're joining us as visitors, then I pray as we enjoy God's presence together and we worship that we have a good time. If you're on Zoom, welcome also. And we pray that as you join us as well this morning online, that you will feel very much part of what we are doing here this morning. This morning is our communion service. And I start with some words from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. What fantastic words from Lamentations. Let's open in prayer before we sing our opening hymn this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. You save us and you sustain us. Help us to trust in you and to worship, whether we have a lot or a little. May our praise bring you glory and remind us of your promises. Lord, your love is steadfast and we can always rely on you. You are a God of infinite mercy and faithfulness. We love you, Lord, and we seek your presence, and we worship you alone. Without you, we are nothing. Teach us this morning how to worship you in all transparency. Fill us with your Spirit as we open our mouths in praise to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our first hymn together this morning. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Thank you, Brian. please be seated. Just a couple of very quick notices. If you've grabbed a notice sheet or you received them via email, you'll see that we're into half term, so things like building blocks is not happening this week. And please also remember that if you are in the building this week, that David, our caretaker, is on holiday, so you'll need to set up and make sure that you tidy up after yourselves, please. That would be really, really good. Thank you. Michael, come and share some prayers with us.
I'm sure that many of you, like me, have watched the news this week with some horror. And I felt led this morning to pray for that situation in Gaza. But it's not our job in prayer to be political or to care what religion people say they are. I felt this morning the Lord wanted us to pray for those people that are innocent. People that didn't want anything to do with this, but are being caught up in it. So let's just do that together. So firstly, as I said this morning, Lord, I want to pray for the situation in the Middle East. One of the most amazing things in modern technology is the fact that we can see minutes after the event what's happening almost anywhere in the world. Lord, it's also one of the most frightening. The images and reports from Israel and Gaza are horrific. I would not describe in this building some of the horrors that I've seen. My first reaction, and I'm sure everybody else's, is, but what can I do? We can pray. I'm not concerned, as I said, which faith the suffering have. Father, I am concerned that innocent people are being killed, both by accident and deliberately. It's those innocent civilians, Lord, that we feel for. Our Father, mighty and all-powerful God in heaven, creator and sustainer of the universe, creator of mercy and justice in Israel today and in Gaza, innocent people are crying, innocent people are dying. An old lady cries out from the street, "You have killed me while I'm still alive." Mothers shriek out in grief as their babies are killed before being slaughtered themselves. Fathers and grandfathers mourn in a way we cannot imagine for their lost sons. Father God, these innocent people are lost and without hope for the future. Please intervene in this horrible war, and through your love, compassion, and mercy, bring about an end to this terrible, terrible tragedy. Because we can't, and you can. This territory conflict has raged before. Time, Lord, for it to come to an end. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. We acknowledge that there are many places in this world where conflict is rife, and there are many Christians in those places who do their best to help. We ask, Lord, that you give them compassion, wisdom, and courage through to all of your children throughout the world, that they and we may defend those who suffer and work to bring relief wherever we can. We ask, Lord, for forgiveness for our prejudices in race and creed. Lord, open our minds to the beauty of others and their needs. At a time of turmoil in the world, when decisions being made are life and death decisions for often innocent people, we pray, Lord, that you will be there when these decisions are being made, and that your voice will be heard above the bravado, egos, greed, and self-interest. We pray, therefore, Lord, for our world leaders in place only because you permit them to be there. We pray for an end to the posturing and blustering, the greed, self-righteousness, and egotism so readily displayed, and ask you to bring upon our leaders true humility, a true desire for peace, and a true desire to care for the country and peoples in their care. Father God, may you grant these leaders a vision of peace, true humility, and a desire for unity. But sometimes, Lord, the conflict is within ourselves. We can be just as painfully lost in our own souls as those persecuted by others. And we need a special prayer. Lord, we pray that you are able to provide solace and inspiration to those who feel detached from you at this moment. Those who feel that you may not be present in their daily lives, or find it difficult to turn their thoughts towards you. We pray that they are able to once again, or perhaps for the first time, experience your ever-present, comforting, loving, and glorifying nature, and realize that you have never left them, but were always there, waiting with and for them. Sometimes, Lord, we don't even realize that our turmoil is because we haven't let you in. So we thank you, Lord, for providing us the time and space to live and breathe, both physically and spiritually. We thank you for the healings we've seen in our own church, and continue to pray for those we hear of in need. Inspire us, Lord, as a church of your people, to help people of all ages to both find Jesus as their own personal friend and saviour, and then to follow his pattern of life. And I want each one of you to say your name and amen now. I didn't hear that. Come on, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Now, as many of you are aware, this morning we are beginning a new series that I hope is going to excite and invigorate and change your life. And we are going to be looking at the story of Nehemiah. And I just thought I'd introduce that this morning by giving you an overview of the whole story. So here it comes. This is Nehemiah. In about four and a half minutes.
Stories of the Bible. Nehemiah rebuilds the wall. This is Nehemiah.
That's me.
Who was a Jewish man who worked for a Persian king, Artaxerxes, the king of Babylon. Many of the Jews had been sent to Babylon years before because they had disobeyed God. One day, Nehemiah heard a report that the Jews who had returned to Judah were having a hard time, and that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and the gates had been burned. This made Nehemiah sad. He didn't eat any food for days and prayed to God for the Jews. He told God he was sorry for the wrong things he and his people had done. He reminded God of his promises and that God had said, "If you obey my commands, I will gather you together again." Nehemiah asked for God to give him success as he went to ask the king for help. Nehemiah then went to do his job for the king. The king asked why Nehemiah was sad, so Nehemiah told the king about his people in Judah. Nehemiah prayed and told the king he wanted to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. He asked for letters from the king that would help him travel safely to Jerusalem and get the supplies he needed to rebuild the city. God helped Nehemiah, and the king gave Nehemiah all he asked for. Nehemiah went to Jerusalem and checked out the walls. He went to the people and said, "Come on, let's rebuild the wall of Jerusalem."
Let's do this.
And the people agreed and started that good work. Meanwhile, there were some officials from nearby lands who heard Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall and were upset.
Aw, man!
They laughed at the Jews and made fun of them. But Nehemiah said,
"Hold on.
The God of heaven will give us success. We serve him."
Whatever.
Many Jews worked together to rebuild the wall, including the priests, men who worked with gold, a man who made perfume, leaders from nearby villages, servants, guard, traders, and daughters as well. All the people worked with all their hearts. The officials from other lands planned to fight the Jews. But the Jews prayed to God and put guards on duty day and night. Nehemiah stationed people to defend the city where it was weak. From that day on, half of the people did the work with swords at their sides, and the other half were armed to defend the people working and the city. Nehemiah reminded them, "Our God will fight for us." They worked from sunrise until the stars came out. After 52 days, the city wall was finally finished. All of Judah's enemies were afraid because they realized that God helped people finish the work. Jerusalem was large. It had a lot of room, but only a few people lived there. So God gave Nehemiah the idea to gather more people to come and live in Jerusalem now that the wall had been rebuilt. And many people returned home to Israel as God gathered his people together again. A teacher of God's law named Ezra came and read the book of the law to all people who could understand. Then they worshiped God and promised to follow God's commands.
Story of Nehemiah from beginning to end. I'm wondering, towards the end of that video, I got to thinking and wondering, you know, what is church? What are we doing when we do church? We often say, don't we, let's go to church today. And it may be one of the reasons why historically we've called this place a chapel rather than a church. Because when we look at it, church is actually you and me. It isn't the building. It's not where we come on a Sunday. Church is us. And from the video you saw that people gathered. They read from the law, and they worship God. And that's what we're doing this morning. And there's lots of different ways, isn't there, of us doing church. It's a lot more than about us coming together on a Sunday morning. Church happens in building blocks on a Monday. It happens in warm space on a Tuesday. It happens in trailblazers on a Friday. Church, in fact, happens anywhere where you or I get together with others and share the gospel of Jesus. And this morning, church is going to happen for us in here, and church is going to happen for you youngsters as you go to your Sunday social group. So I'd like to pray for you before you go, and then we're going to sing again as you make your way out the back to your groups this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for church. Thank you for one another, each of us playing our part. And this morning, I pray you will be with us in this room as we continue to meet with you. And be with all our young people as they too go to their Sunday social group. Help them to learn something new from you. Bless those who are leading and teaching this morning. Give us all a great time as we continue to worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Right, youngsters, you can head off. Us that are not quite so young, we're going to stand and we're going to sing another hymn. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. You are one with us, Mary's Son, cleansing our souls from all their sin, pouring your love and goodness in. Jesus, our love, to you we sing, living Lord. Let's stand and let's sing together. May be seated. So we come to our reading this morning, and it's a short reading this morning. We're just going to read the first four verses from the beginning of Nehemiah. So Nehemiah chapter 1, the first four verses. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned from their captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." Nehemiah said, "When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven." And before I just share a few thoughts from that small passage, and we think about the book that we are covering over the next 6, 7, 8 weeks, we're going to sing another song. And I was reminded during the week that we actually sang this song last Sunday. And that was probably the reason why I've been humming it all week, thinking we must have this song on Sunday. So let's stand and we're going to sing together, "Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God," before we come to God's word this morning. Thanks, Brian. take your seats. So this morning we are beginning our autumn reading series, working our way through Chris Rogers' book, Restore, Renew, Rebuild. And if you've put your name on the board for a copy and you haven't picked your copy up yet, then they are here this morning. Please come and see me afterwards and come and grab your copy as we begin this series together. So I'm going to let Chris himself introduce the book to us this morning before I share a few words from those first four verses.
Friends, welcome to the next big church read. My name is Chris Rogers, and I'm so excited to be walking you through my newest book, Restore, Renew, Rebuild. The subtitle of the book is this: A Life of Nehemiah and the Mission of Jesus. Using the book of Nehemiah, we're going to explore what it looks like to restore, renew, and rebuild in light of the gospel, in light of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, the transforming power of God, the work of God in the world. And in Restore, Renew, Rebuild, we are going to explore what does it actually look like for us as individuals, as well as the church, to be restored back to God, to almost reset our vision on him, and then rebuild forwards. What does it look like for us to dream of a new prophetic future for our lives, but also for our churches? So I'd love to encourage you to join me for the big church read as we explore, restore, renew, and rebuild. I'd love you to buy some copies, invite some friends to get together over a cup of tea and join me over 6 weeks as we explore how we might rebuild our lives post-pandemic. So friends, join me, get a hold of a copy, and I'll see you on the next big church read.
So I'm not sure if you heard everything that Chris said there, but he said one thing towards the end. What does it look like to dream of a new prophetic future for our lives and also for our churches? And that's what we're going to explore over the next few weeks. And my prayer is that God will change us, making us more like him as we study these first three chapters of Nehemiah together. So let me take you this morning to the vast, sprawling Persian capital city of Susa, now found in southwestern Iran. Big, vibrant, and beautiful. Grand architectural masterpieces with streets lined with statues. Lush, spacious green gardens, opulent and full of wealth. Built along ancient trade routes, it was a commercial as well as political hub for the region. People and merchants coming and going all the time. Everyone would want to live somewhere like this. I mean, who wouldn't? Queen Esther has lived in the palace, and Daniel has also been linked to the city. And this is where we find our character, Nehemiah, serving in the royal palace as butler to King Artaxerxes. He was in a good place. Security was his, and he was well provided for. Now, I wonder if this morning you feel in a good place. And not just because you're in church, worshipping with fellow like-minded brothers and sisters, but in a good place as you look inwards into your life. And if so, then that's great. And I guess you're then able to echo the opening lines of Psalm 147. Praise the Lord! How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how fitting. But let's face it, things don't always feel so good, do they? Sometimes it's even hard for us just even to say, praise the Lord. Sometimes we just don't feel like it. And where Nehemiah was sitting, we see that things were very, very different in the far-off city of Jerusalem. And to get the backstory here, we need to turn to the book of Ezra, which I recommend that you take a read through if you have time. Now, Nehemiah, he would have heard the tales from a century before, where the Babylon's king had ruthlessly declared war and devastated Judah and its cities, and heard how the Israelites had been deported to far-off lands. From people visiting Susa, he would have heard of the exiles who were now returning. He would have heard talk of Zerubbabel, who was in the first wave of people to return, and how work on building the temple and walls of Jerusalem had been started, and then how the opposition of the local residents had got all that work stopped. And it wasn't until some years later that work was then restarted on building the walls and the temple again. And then many years had passed before Ezra, the priest, returns with a second group of people to establish a community in Jerusalem where God's word was at its heart. A task that wasn't going to be easy, as the people were still found to be disobeying the commands of God. And then that brings us then right up to date and to the beginnings of the story we've read this morning. We have read that Nehemiah inquires of the visitors from Judah as to how things were going in Jerusalem. He was genuinely interested and concerned for the welfare of others, even if they were at quite a distance away. And I don't think he was exchanging mere pleasantries here. Now, I don't know what your default answer is when someone asks you how you're doing, or if you even have a standard response. But mine seems to be to smile and say, yep, all fine here, no problems, thank you very much. And often, this will actually be the case. But at times, I would just rather say all is okay and keep on going, hoping my difficulties just go away. And anyway, the person asking doesn't really want to know all my problems. It's a standard greeting phrase being meted out, and we're just exchanging a little small talk to pass the time, aren't we? Well, of course, that totally depends, I guess, on the person asking you the question. If your best friend was asking how things were going, you might give a totally different response, which might start something like, let's go and get a coffee. And if it's God asking, well, he has all the time in the world. He would expect you to tell him how you're feeling. And anyways, he already knows. So you cannot try and hide or cover things up. What does 1 Peter 5:7 tell us? Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. And that's a verse I need to remind myself of often. As so often when I'm faced with a problem or situation that I don't know how to solve or get out of, the last thing on my mind seems to be sharing it with God. If God really cares about us, then he wants to help, right? And he has a plan. And he sure had a plan for Nehemiah. Now, I'm not sure what Nehemiah was expecting to hear in response to his question. It's all going really well, thanks, Nehemiah. Everyone seems settled. Ezra is doing a fantastic job. God is really blessing. The worship time in the temples are on another level. It's all just awesome. No. Instead, we get things are not going well at all. The people are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls have been torn down and the gates destroyed by fire. And note here that the visitors put the people first, before the bricks and the mortar. And broken walls would have meant no security and much deprivation for those that were in Jerusalem. And that's the exact opposite of what Nehemiah and his friends were experiencing. And I wonder if this is your experience this morning. Not in such a good place. You feel a little broken. Maybe your walls need some attention. And if this is more like you this morning, then listen to how the psalm that we began earlier continues. The Lord is rebuilding Jerusalem and bringing the exiles back to Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. And the amazing thing is that God is able to put you and me back together again, no matter how broken you are feeling. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Nehemiah, in a good place. The returning people in Jerusalem, not so. And so as the reality sinks in, Nehemiah just sits and weeps. Not for a city, but for a people. Not for broken walls, but for shattered lives. The compassion and the conviction was such that tears flowed. And for Nehemiah, he spends many days in this state as he spends time with God. And this morning, I guess the real challenge for us is, as Chris puts it, to realign our hearts with the heart of God. And we cannot think about rebuilding until we are restored and renewal takes place. Hence the reason why the book doesn't start with rebuild. It starts with restore. And Nehemiah's realigning happened as he recognized the desperate need, and thus his calling was birthed. Those days of mourning, fasting, and praying were the turning point in his life. And if you've already got your copy of the book, you may have already read, or if not, you will read this week. Chris throwing down the gauntlet and asking us to search within our own lives. And here's just a short extract from what you're going to read this week. Chris says, we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves and ask this question. Who have we been going to church for? God? Those outside the church? Ourselves? Let's be honest. For many of us, myself included, says Chris, the church can be and has been more about what we like than what God wants. We've been more concerned about the choice of songs than who is missing every week because they simply don't know or haven't heard the good news. We've been heartbroken when a service structure has been changed, something has been taken away or done differently, but quite unbothered by the poverty and injustice surrounding us. Now, I didn't say that this book was going to be an easy read. Nor should it be. And we need to be open and honest enough as a fellowship to recognize where God wants to challenge us and break through to new beginnings. The book begins with us being challenged enough to allow the Holy Spirit to restore our lives and remind us of God's heart. And as we shall see next week, as Nehemiah's story unfolds, he starts his journey through much prayer and confession. And I want to finish this morning with a scripture that Chris will mention in the video when you watch it during the week. And I've added two verses to the end. And it's from James chapter 5, and it's verses 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And the example here, Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Confession and earnest prayer. And don't discount a little weeping too. Are you ready? Heavenly Father, this morning as we've just begun to touch on Nehemiah and his story, I pray that you will bring us to a place in our own lives where you will touch us, challenge us, get our hearts realigned with your heart. Let us know what you want. Because this kingdom building stuff is not about us. It's about you. And Lord, if that means you have to break us and bring us to a place of weeping, then I pray your Holy Spirit will step in and lovingly do that. So that we too can be restored. Restored as individuals. Restored as a fellowship. So that we can be renewed together. So that as we think about rebuilding, as we think about how we go about helping people of all ages to find and to follow you, that we will keep you central. Father, we want you to break in. Help us as we study your word. Get our hearts realigned with your heart. In your name. Amen. We are going to sing again now. Before we bring Kimberly into membership this morning. And then we're going to share communion together. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me. Thank you, Brian. please take your seats. I'm going to ask Kimberly to come forward. Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. What a great verse that is, isn't it? And as we are here, as members of Desborough Baptist Church, he has put each of us just where he wants us. And this morning, it is my great prayer and privilege to welcome Kimberly into membership this morning. So in the name of our loving God, it is a joy to welcome Kimberly into the fellowship of this church. She's committed to serving God in this community, and today we acknowledge and thank God for that commitment. So, Kimberly, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer and the sustainer of all things?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life, and witness of this local congregation?
I do.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
I will. All I have is given by God.
As Baptist Christians, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together, we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. So, Kimberly, will you share with us in this common life and service, and will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known? I'd like to invite all of you who are members here of Desborough Baptist Church to stand with me and Kimberly this morning, and we are going to affirm these words together. I'll read the light, you read the bold text out loud, that would be fantastic. So members of Desborough Baptist Church, do you welcome Kimberly into the fellowship of this worshipping community? We do. This is our joy and our calling. God has given us the gift of Kimberly, and through her, he has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support Kimberly in Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray for Kimberly and encourage her through hospitality, friendship, and prayer?
We will. In the fellowship Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ.
Kimberly, it is therefore my privilege on behalf of the fellowship to welcome you into membership and trust God richly blesses you as you faithfully serve him within our community.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we believe you've guided Kimberly to this church, and we rejoice in the covenant promises we have made together. We pray that she may grow in grace, strengthen her faith and ours, and build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit upon Kimberly, strengthen her for service, and make her more like Jesus. Through your grace, empower us, that our life together might glorify you and witness to a needy world. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you.
We are going to come to communion together now. And I invite those who are serving to join me at the front. So this morning, come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let's just take a moment to pause and allow God to bring to our minds those things that we need to confess to him this morning. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, we come to your table trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. You prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be cleansed and renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. This we pray in the name and for his sake. Amen. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And so we share bread together, eating individually, in recognition of Christ's death, his body broken for each of us." In the same manner, he also took a cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We share this cup, retaining it until all are served. Then we'll drink together as a body united in Christ." And so let us drink, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us, and let us be thankful. God of grace, you've called us to be your disciple people and gathered us to your table. Here we've tasted the bread of heaven and shared the new wine of your kingdom. Empower us by your Spirit that we may be a gospel people. Good news for all the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to finish our time together this morning by singing this hymn. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son. Let's stand and sing together. Let us go into God's world as disciples of Jesus Christ and messengers of the gospel. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.